Welcome to Transformation with Martinet. Martinet Emmons is a transformational life coach who broke free from childhood abuse, sexual trauma, and overcame cancer to become a powerful force of healing and hope for others. Martinet describes traumatic events as fierce emotional tsunamis. They can leave impending doom and destructive tidal waves of emotions that hit you when you least expect it. Martinet helps her clients dive into the depths of their trauma and pain as she stands fiercely advocating for them to shine a light on those experiences and find the lesson in the pain. She serves as a beacon of hope that guides you to see the strength, lessons, and purpose that can be born from the pain. You can feel alive with purpose again when you awaken your dormant strength, step into your power with a sense of peace, and discover a new wave of hope with the right tools and support. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation to inspire you to find hope and to see that there is a beautiful blue ocean of serenity, happiness, and fulfillment in your future. Transformation with Martinet starts now.
Welcome everyone to Transformation with Martinet, where we overcome everything and compromise nothing. I'm so excited to be back. For those of you that don't know, my show is every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. And for new listeners, my show is about hope. My guests and myself, we all firmly believe that no matter what you've been through, you can get back up from anything. I am proof, they are proof. And today I'm so excited to welcome Kamisha Brewer, who she's got quite the story, and I know that it's going to inspire you. Welcome, Kamisha. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I'm Kamisha Brewer Dickerson. I am a licensed psychotherapist. I'm a thought life coach. I'm a speaker. I'm an author of the new book, Thought Life Confessions. And I help high achieving women really like find their voice and find their hope through managing their negative thoughts and developing healthy thought patterns.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, what led you to this world of transformation of, I know you have a story of grief, and what led you to not only work with the type of women that you do, but just led you into this journey of hope, of helping other women especially?
Sure. So I grew up in the South. I'm a pastor's kid. And so obviously ministry was our life. Like, we kind of lived at the church. My mom was an educator. So we lived at church and at school. And that's just kind of where we were most of the time. And so our family was very big on empowering people and loving people, serving them well, educating them, getting them access to resources, getting them, you know, plugged into things that would meet their needs of, you know, the individual person and their families. And so in the South, what I noticed was that there was not a lot of conversation about mental health. And even now, you know, in the South, some of the new, like, innovative treatment strategies and modalities that other states are using and have been using for years, in some states in the South, it's just starting. And so what I wanted to do was to be able to bridge that gap and to continue to provide resources, but specifically focusing on the women who are in leadership positions, because what I saw, you know, I come from a family of very educated women, very high achieving women who are, you know, they have multiple degrees, great salaries, great homes, they vacation wherever they want to, they get to, you know, enjoy a life of luxury and, you know, live, you know, the academic life and everything that comes with that, but they're also very stressed out. And, you know, they experience burnout and struggle with their mental health. And because they're in leadership positions, it affects the way that they lead and it affects the way that they serve. So I wanted to build a practice for those women, because I understand that when women are healthy and they have hope and they have their passion and we are well rested, like, the sky's the limit for us. There's nothing we can't do. So I wanted to make sure, you know, that they had a place as well.
Oh yeah. I so agree with you. And, I was just thinking that, you know, I have some colleagues, their husband and wife team, they do a lot of work together, and basically the name of their company is Don't Let the Selfies Fool You.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of, like you're saying, a lot of high achieving women, like you think that they've got it all, you know, talk about comparisonitis, right? You're looking at people and thinking, geez, man, I wish I had their life, but little do you know, or little do we know, we don't know what's going on. Maybe it looks like it's all sunshine and roses, but it's not.
Right.
Yeah. So what, well, actually, would you mind sharing some of your story and what brought you to this point that you knew this was needed?
Yeah. I watched, and, you know, I watched my mother just go, go, go. Mm-hmm. We're doers in our family. Yeah. Watch my sisters do it. My cousins, my aunts, like, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. And what I experienced in my own mental health as a young adult, you know, through grief, losing both parents as a teenager, you know, my mom passed away when I was 18. My dad had died the year before and I was 17. Mm-hmm. So I'm a freshman in college dealing with grief, but I'm in college on an academic scholarship. So there was already, you know, this extreme level of pressure to perform academically. Like, it doesn't quite, you know, when you go to a university on an academic scholarship, there's not a lot of room for exploration or creativity or being able to, you know, go hang out and do college stuff of, you know, partying, making new friends, enjoying the on-campus activities. So a lot of the pressure was, you know, study, stay in your books, don't quite mingle because you need to be focused. And so there was already that, you know, that pressure to perform. And it was that coupled with grief now. And so I watched, you know, the decline of my own mental health as a young adult. Right. And because mental health wasn't something that was talked about, I didn't even really know what to do and where to go. I didn't know, you know, how to start that process. Like, do you Google a therapist or was there a certain place on campus? Like, I literally did not know what steps to take to address my own mental health. So I didn't take any, which caused me, you know, to suffer longer. And I wanted to, you know, as I continued to heal and work through it, which came several years later, I wanted to make sure that people understood like a clear path for how to get the help that they needed and what those steps would look like, you know, through education, even if it was a live video of, hey, if you're having mental health problems, here is what you do. Like, I knew that was a new part of my calling because some people, they literally have no idea and it's a barrier for them to get what they need. But it's the same thing when we need to go to a doctor or go to a dentist, like it's the same process, but because it's mental health, some people don't see it as the same process at all. So that's how I knew that this doesn't have to continue to happen as long as we can provide a safe space and really educate and empower people.
Right. Right. You know, mental health is still, I think we've come a long way, but it's still so, well, it's still kind of, you know, kind of scary. Like, you know, you're worried about what people are going to think of you. And especially in the really, well, in the 20s, you know, when you're in your 20 somethings, it's still kind of, it's kind of embarrassing. And I'm thinking, you know, you're 30 years old, right?
Yes.
That, okay. So when you were 17 and 18, I don't, Zoom was not as big of a thing, right? Like these online therapy sessions, like that they have now that to me, at least I know as a coach, I've had virtual sessions for many years now. Mm-hmm. However, with therapy, most therapists I know, it's all in person. Yes. So now I think just even COVID, that opened up a really wonderful door.
Absolutely.
For people. That probably would have been so good for you back then, even because then you wouldn't have to, you know, be searching and trying to find something. It would have been there without, you know,
absolutely.
That would have been so good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you got started in this world, like, well, actually, like what would be your first step? So, you know, you're a freshman in college and you know you need some help. Where did you go being a pastor's kid when prayer was the answer? You know, in your household, prayer was the answer. It wasn't seeking some outside source. And I know this not only because of our conversation, but the fact that I was raised in a Catholic home. Mm-hmm. And when I had incidences happen to me and the first bit of trauma for me was I was sexually molested by three different men before I was nine. Mm. And the very first one, I remember it's like, God, it just, you know, being so young as I was about five at this time. And he was just like this big guy. I remember these overalls. I've hated overalls. Even in all the healing I've done now, I hate overalls. And he had overalls, this big old ball head and big belly. And I remember telling my mom, like in my innocence, about what happened. And I remember my dad being up at like, you know, like in a doorway, bracing himself in a doorway. And he was like, I could tell him, he was just like, oh my God, you know, what do I do here? And my mom was just trying to soothe me. They went to the Catholic priest and they said, and he advised them, don't do anything. Just kind of sweep it under the rug. And the fact that his wife, they didn't want her to know, or they didn't want her to die knowing that she was married to a monster. He was dying of cancer. So they chose her basically, which left me like, what about me? Like, why wasn't somebody standing up for me? And mm-hmm. then when it happened two other times, I didn't really like, why was I going to say anything? Because I couldn't get the help I needed. I asked for it, but I couldn't get the help I needed. So what did you do when prayer was the thing in your house? What was your first step out to like, I need something here, but.
Yeah, I think my first step didn't even happen until graduate school.
Oh, okay.
Because I knew that I needed to be in a much better place, because grad school, you know, it's deeper work. They make you they make you deal with your own stuff if you're going to step into the lane of a clinician. And so I just started doing some research about, you know, resources that were available on campus. And so through the university, it was a Christian college. They had like Christian based counselors. And so that was my first step. I wanted to meet her to see what she did and how she approached helping. So that was my first step, just being nosy and asking questions and continuing to ask questions about where could I go, and advocating for myself of saying, you know, I would prefer a female counselor. I would prefer an African-American female counselor if she's available, because I really wanted someone who looked like me, which, you know, thankfully they had, but I didn't know that they had that until I started asking questions.
And I think that's actually, that's like the first step. Because to me, that brings up worthiness. Like, you knew you were worthy of help. And you knew what you needed and you asked for it. I applaud that. A lot of people don't do that. They don't have that worthiness in them, especially when grief or loss has happened. Like they just don't know what to do. I knew to ask. I think my parents were just like, they were overwhelmed. They weren't sure what to do. And I think they did the best that they thought that an advised leader in the church told them. So they followed that, you know? So you started looking and you found somebody that could help you. How did that go? Like, how did that start out?
It was great. Immediately, she felt like family. You know what I'm saying? And even though that wasn't her role, but just like from a heart connection standpoint, I knew that she understood me. She understood my life. She understood the life of a pastor's kid and everything that has come with that. And now that my life was nothing like that anymore, because I had lost both parents and didn't have grandparents, like I didn't know who I was anymore or what life was supposed to be like. So she helped me to normalize my new life and to actually help me find my voice and my purpose to step into my new role of a counselor in training.
Yeah. Oh, that's really awesome. Awesome. I think a lot of times, you know, well, a lot of times when we're ready, that teacher does come. We have to search her out, but she does come. So we're going to take a break, but before we do, where can people find you?
Absolutely. So the best way to find me is on my website. It's KamishaBrewer.com. And also on Instagram, it's at Kamisha Brewer, as well as Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube.
Awesome. Okay. We'll be right back for more transformation.
Could wake up feeling motivated, inspired, and fully connected to your higher self so that you make better, more intentional decisions throughout the day? Tune into Coffee with the Universe with me, Laura Goldstein, every third Tuesday of the month at 2 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit www.cwtu.net for show details.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Shades of Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendars. Shades of Spirit goes live in a new time spot every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What?
Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and spirit walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-930-2819 and visit ShadesOfSpirit.com.
Burnout can feel like a heavy cloud hanging over everything you do. If you're tired of being tired, be true to yourself and take action today. The Burn Bright Way. I, Jennifer Marcinelli, focus on providing energy solutions that manifest practical, real-life results. So what are you waiting for? Tune in to Burn Bright today, Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information on how to heal from burnout, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we overcome everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Kamisha, and we are talking about grief, loss, and getting the help we need. So, Kamisha, you found the right therapist to help you get going, and you found your passion of helping women who are leaders, who are someone who may not reach out initially because it's not quite acceptable or possibly frowned upon in their families. So how did you get started in a sense of you knew you needed help, you found the help. What did your passion grow into? How did you start sensing that passion? Like, okay, I know this is for me too. I want to help other women like me.
Yeah. So it came through, you know, a series of conversations, a series of different sessions with the counselor I started seeing, and also just the clinical training of my graduate program. And okay. So my professors in the program, they were very, very challenging, but in a good way, even from like a spiritual standpoint of, you know, in the field of counseling, there's times where we have to like face our own stuff, like our own issues, because everything can come up in a session. And so they were very adamant about making sure that we were well prepared to face those things as they came. And so some of our training, which was actually, it was training from a clinical standpoint, but it was like a healing experience for me, is them, you know, just creating the scenarios and all the role playing where if we were triggered, they could see it, even if they didn't know our full background, they didn't know our full story, but they could tell something in that conversation did not sit right with us. And they would call us out. And I wanted to very much so bring that into my career and bring that into my practice of being able to recognize when things come to the surface, because sometimes clients and, you know, in coaching and counseling, they're not aware of what's coming up and why. So just the experience of that and being mindful of my own feelings, my own thoughts, I started really putting the pieces together. And I remembered, you know, my counselor who eventually became a mentor for me. And we still have a great relationship because it was in more of a Christian counseling standpoint. There wasn't as many like HIPAA confidentiality kind of laws that, you know, were actually barriers for us in terms of having a really good relationship. So just being able to work through that and have that training and have that hands-on experience it woke something up, like on the inside of me, this full awakening that was like a fire that has still not gone out. And I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I want to facilitate those kind of experiences, those life-changing transformation type experiences in a session where people are never the same after that conversation. That one question that shifts their thinking, it changes their life, it gives them hope, it gives them their voice, it helps to free them from all that baggage that they've been carrying for years that was not theirs. Like that one conversation can do that for them. And because I felt it and I was able to experience it, helps me to have hope that I can, you know, let my clients borrow until they get their own hope. And it's just a beautiful thing to be able to watch and to experience every day.
Isn't it wonderful to have someone believe in you before you may believe in yourself?
Absolutely.
Oh man, I know I've borrowed that before from my coaches and therapy, you know, a little bit more in my past for therapy. But just to have someone just say that, you know, you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You will make it. You will be stronger. You will be more resilient. You know, I think that's so important because that's something that I can't stress enough to my clients is to look back on your life and even just grab those bits of evidence, you know, those pieces that you have done it, and then keep those in a journal or keep them next to you, whatever, or say the words of your mentor that has said, you know, of all the things you can do and be, testimonies from your clients. There's nothing like it. Right.
Yeah.
And then to be able to give that to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say they were having you face your stuff, and that gave you tools to, you know, not only extract out of your clients, you know, to me, I don't think there's anything, I can do phone sessions, but I prefer it's got to be Zoom or in person. So you can really watch body language. You can really see what's going on. So when you say face issues and stuff, for me, that means like sitting in it.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you? Like to actually sit in discomfort, to sit in those feelings of like what your body is trying to tell you, what your soul is trying to tell you.
Yeah. For me, it means just really creating space to, like you said, to sit in it and to experience everything that is happening around you and within you without trying to, you know, use the avoidance behaviors or the distractions of busyness, because we can always be busy.
Oh man.
And always find something to do, especially when things are uncomfortable and it's like, oh, I'm anxious. I don't want to be anxious. So I'm going to distract myself and go to this event or go to this network thing or get back on Facebook and Instagram. I'm going to do all these things just so I'm not anxious. When you face yourself, you start asking those deeper questions of why am I anxious? What does this mean to me? What is this communicating? Where do I feel this anxiety in my body? Like, is it a stomach issue? Am I sweating? Do I feel uneasy? Like, what is happening within me and where is this coming from? What is coming up for me? Like what is really happening here? Just because it's so important for us to recognize our own patterns and our cycles and our behaviors. Some people with the high achieving women that I work with, some of them had no idea they were dealing with anxiety. They thought it was normal because that's all that they've seen. And some of them are full-blown depressed. They had no idea that they were depressed. They meet clinical criteria for depression, but they thought because I still go to work every day, that means I'm not depressed. And they haven't really given themselves a chance to sit in it. And some of them are afraid of what happens if I acknowledge that I'm depressed, or if I acknowledge that I'm anxious, or if I acknowledge that I don't know what I am right now. I don't know how I feel, but I know it's something going on. That fear creates a barrier. And so for me, when you sit in it and when you face yourself, you're really able to look at what's really happening around you and within you. And then you can make decisions about, okay, what do I want to do next? Am I okay with how I feel? Do I want to stay here? Do I want to live like this forever? Or do I want to make some positive changes happen and transform my own life?
Yes. Oh man. I so really, the discomfort is something that is so hard to sit in. And it took me a long time. And I was the queen of distraction. It's like, I know I need to focus on something, even like it, say in my studies, or whatever, or a program I'm doing. And I'll just be thinking, you know, okay, so I'll sit down and I'll put the video on or something, a training video. And then I'll be like, you know, maybe I should just like throw in a load of laundry or something and just get that done. So I feel, you know, good about that. Right. You know, and then I'll go do that and come back. All right, I'm ready now. And then, oh, you know, I should do, gosh, if I just write up a few more things and get this done too, then I can really focus. Like, what the heck are you doing?
Right.
I am so good at that. Or I should say I was so good at that. I am highly aware now. When I'm doing that, it's like, okay, what are you trying to tell me here? Come on, we're okay. Tell myself it's okay. We got to keep going here. I can do this. Yes. I know I'm meant for more in my life. You know, do you find yourself still doing any of that too? Like when you're right on the brink of, especially up-leveling your life, right? You know, something more is coming. Do you find yourself distracting yourself more?
Yeah, I do. And sometimes the distractions are good, which further justifies the need for their existence. But I definitely find myself doing that, especially when I'm intimidated about the next level, next level of success. Cause I'm like, I don't know what's up there. And I don't know what I was going to be required of me when I get there, but I know I can't stay here. I feel that, but that shifting is very uncomfortable. But sometimes I have to just move things out of the way and give myself space to be and to feel and to exist and to just surrender my own need to try to control the narrative just so I can be fully present, because it could be an awesome experience if I just release it.
right. And you know that Lisa Nichols was just one of my mentors, and I know yours as well. Mm-hmm. That she'll often talk about, like, you know, we go up this elevator and we keep getting up to these different levels. You know, it's like we get there and we find our way, and oh, it's scary getting there. And then, okay, it's time to go a little bit more. Oh my God, it's scary as heck. And the thing is, most people, they stop when I get to a certain level, because it's just too dang scary. There aren't too many of us up here.
Yes.
And I know you, me, and a lot of us that are in transformation, not only do we want to get there ourselves, but we want to help other people get there, because we were meant for more. And if we don't take those steps to get there, man, we do not want to be sitting there in our 60s, 70s and be thinking, oh my God, why didn't I do it?
Right.
That's got to be a horrible feeling, you know, to get to that point. So when you talk to your women that are already high achievers and they are anxious, what do you tell them about getting that self-care to be not only to up-level their lives, but just to relax in where they are and know that they're worthy to take some time?
Yeah, I tell them to decide what level of success is enough for them, because many of them, they climb and climb and climb, but they don't climb with intention. They climb out of fear, and they climb out of pressure of, well, I should be at this level because of my age, or because of my education, or because of how much money I make in my business, or how long I've been operating my business. I should be here. And it's costing them. Sometimes it's their marriage, their relationship with their children, their health. Like, you're trying to get there at what expense? And when your body is telling you, we're not ready for this next level, we need to make a decision. Like, can I be content and happy and fulfilled on my current level of success for a little while, not forever, but for now, so that other things can have the attention that they need? Yes. Let's make a decision.
That's I really like that. That's really important, because sometimes maybe it isn't the right time. Mm-hmm. Maybe you kind of just need to relax where you are for a little bit, enjoy where you are for a bit. Keep thinking about that. Don't let it go, but relax a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a break again. So please tell everybody where they can find you.
Absolutely. So you can find me at KamishaBrewer.com, on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. It's at Kamisha Brewer.
Awesome. All right, everyone. We'll be back in just a few. Thank you so much.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, "It was nothing," or "just doing my job," when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you "great job," you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Are you tired of waking up and starting your day already feeling overwhelmed and anxious? Join me, Laura Goldstein, for Coffee with the Universe, where we talk how to start the day feeling calm, collected, and confident instead. Tune in every third Tuesday of the month at 2 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit www.cwtu.net for show details.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the nine freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
To Transformation with Martinet, where we overcome everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Kamisha Brewer, and we are talking transformation, all kinds of good stuff here. So Kamisha, you were describing how you found your passion in your own therapy and journey. Would you describe how, well, you got into therapy yourself, and you felt the fire in your belly to help others in the same way. How did your journey go from there to the point of getting your education, and then maybe before you actually took your examinations and your boards? How did that go?
So it was a complete roller coaster. I graduated, and it was in the fall, so it was in December. I didn't have enough money to pay my rent in January, so I had to get a job. And the job market, it was weird at the time, and I wasn't ready to leave home. And it was still a grief response, wanting to stay close to my siblings and extended family. And the one thing I said I would never do, and that was teach, because I come from a family of educators, a lot of teachers. I was like, I don't want to do this. So I got a job as a preschool teacher. And so they brought me on as like a behavior intervention specialist for 2.5 to 3.5 year olds. And so they had two areas of need. So it was like a medical issue and a psychological issue. Some of it was like autism, trauma, speech language disorders, like different things, sensory processing disorders. So small kids with a lot of challenges that was making learning difficult and really, you know, increase their behavior problems because they were acting out, still trying to find their way, but they had some challenges to work through. So I started teaching, and I absolutely hated it. because I didn't want to teach.
Yeah.
I made it very clear. I was sick a lot, you know, being around small children, you get a lot of germs, you're exposed to a lot of different things. Yeah. So after teaching, I had had enough and I found myself right back in depression. And as soon as I got home from school, I was in the bed. I had no desire to work on my gifts, my passion, to go be creative, to do any of the fun things that I love to do. All that was gone just because I was operating outside of my purpose and not doing things that were meaningful. So I quit teaching, left my salary job to go back to waitressing, which is what I did in college. And my family was like, "You did what? You walked away from a salary job to go back to waitressing with no benefits." I'm like, "Yeah, but I was so much happier."
Right, right.
So much happier. And I was making more money, which was sad, but it was the truth. I made way more money as a waitress. And so from waitressing, I found my spark. I was around people. I could hear their stories. Yeah. You know, you have your regulars that come to your section. And then I decided, I want to do something different. Obviously, I can't be a waitress forever. During that time period, one of my brothers became very sick. And he was in ICU and I went to visit him one night and he was like, "Kid, I don't know what you're doing, but you need to get your life together. You're educated. You have a master's degree. You have an educational specialist degree in clinical mental health and you are waitressing. You need to go find your thing." Yeah. I was like, "Okay, fine. I'll go find my thing." Mm-hmm. And from that moment, he ended up passing away, unfortunately, a few days later. So I'm right back in grief, but I have direction this time. And I decided I'm going to start a business. So I kept waitressing and I would be waitressing and I would have my headphones in listening to webinars, listening to podcasts about building a coaching business, building a consulting business, how to create programs that provide transformation. And I was doing all the things. And so my journey, I was just trying stuff. So I was a personal consultant. I did branding. I did marketing. I was staging photo shoots for clients. I was providing life coaching, closet makeovers. The closet makeovers, whenever I got in the walk-in closets with my clients, they turned into therapy sessions.
Oh, wow. I could see that.
So that's when I knew there was attachment to clothes of, you know, I wore this dress to this party and this is what happened. This dress came from a funeral. This was my kids, you know, the first outfit we brought them home from the hospital. Yeah. All the stories, all the tears. And I was like, "Oh, I'm about to take my boards. That's exactly what's about to happen because there's a market for this. I'm ready now. I'm in a different headspace." So it was a real roller coaster of a season, like a roundabout way to really getting back to what I knew I should have done anyway. But I was so afraid to take my boards after grad school. I was avoiding. So that's how I ended up teaching preschool. But in those closets with makeovers, and every now, it's been years, but every now and then someone will say, "Hey, on Facebook, I'm looking for a closet makeover person," and they'll tag me. They'll tag me, and I have to tell them, "Hey, I don't do closet makeovers anymore, but if you need therapy or coaching, I'm your girl for sure."
There you go. Oh, wow. You know, that's, it's so sad about your brother and I'm so sorry. And I fully, I understand both my brother and sister are gone. And both of them were quite the shock. And I know that I was, especially when my brother, my sister was first and then my brother, and both of them were very advocates, you know, for helping others. Mm-hmm. And they left me with like, "They're not here to do it, so I'm going to do it for us."
Yeah.
And I bet that, I imagine that might've been part of you. Like, you know, he's telling you, you got to get out there and do your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you were saying, you're operating out of purpose by teaching. You knew you didn't want to do it. You did it out of a need.
Right.
You knew you didn't want to do that. So would you speak to that, like operating out of purpose? Because right. I know that me, if I'm not doing, it feels like, oh God, it's like just your whole body just like, it's a cringe. It's a, oh no.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to do something. But at the same time, you can't stay there too long. You know, there's like a quote by Maya Angelou. It's like, go, you know, you can be in grief or any type of, well, getting through something for a bit, but don't stay in park.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I teach a lot about the purpose zone in my book, Thought Life Confessions, and about what that is and what it feels like when you're in your purpose zone. And a lot of the women that I work with, because they're high achievers, their life's pursuit is on finding their purpose. And so mm-hmm. my perspective is that, you know, your purpose is something that's inside of you. It's not like a destination or like a journey. It's the thing that you were born to do. And so for me, I know that my purpose is to help women manage their negative thoughts. It's to help them find hope, help them to be able to identify their patterns, develop coping skills, and to be able to walk in the fullness of the thing they were born to do. Like, that's my purpose. And right now I do that in the form of therapy, in the form of coaching, in the form of speaking when I do events, and right now in the form of writing through the book. But my purpose doesn't change. So if I decide I want to go be a chef one day, my purpose remains the same. You know what I'm saying? And so for the high achieving women that I work with, sometimes they feel like, well, because I got a new job, I'm no longer my purpose. And all the job was supposed to do was provide for your family and pay your bills. It wasn't supposed to, you know, give you the meaning and the fulfillment, like, from the job itself. Like, it serves a purpose, but your actual purpose in life is completely separate from where you work and like your place of employment. And so when you're not in it, meaning like you're not using the thing that's inside of you, yes, you're probably going to feel off and you're going to feel like something's missing or that you're lacking something. And it's so easy to, like you said, have the whole comparison thing going on and start questioning, you know, like, oh, I should have this by now. My website should look like hers, or my podcast isn't good because I don't have a producer to help me do it. Like, people still need what you have. There are, you know, we're not called to serve everybody, but there are, you know, specific groups of people that I do believe we are called to and we are assigned to. And when we show up, and that's literally all we have to do, is just show up and just do the thing that we dream about, that really speaks to us, that our creative juices flow. When we do that, people's lives change. And I think that's like the most powerful thing ever, more so than what your website looks like, or more than what your branding photo shoot looks like, or if you had a five-figure launch. Like, all those things are great, but it's not your purpose. Like, you could do all those things offline and no one ever knows about it, and you're still making an impact with the world.
Right. And you know what you're saying too about there is enough people out there for you to serve. You know, we don't have to worry about, okay, there's a lot of coaches, there are a lot of therapists. Nobody has your story or my story.
Right.
You know, we all have certain people that are going to relate to us and how we tell it, whether we're speaking, whether we're podcasting, whether we're coaching or being in a therapy session. There is the right people for you.
Yeah.
So I want to get into a little bit of anxiety before our next break. I think this is such a big topic that I would love your take on. I feel that the young people today have it a little bit harder in regards to, there's so many ways to connect, text or whatever the case. We're not having real conversations anymore. Do you, in your opinion, professional opinion and otherwise, feel that anxiety is higher now than maybe it was even just a few years back?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for many people, we're just overstimulated constantly. There's so many different avenues and media, like, where we can get information. And the type of information that we see, it's usually negative, unfortunately. Like, you have to search for the good stories of hope and encouragement, inspiration. But the things that pop up are things that scare you. You know, it's everything with what's going on in the health world, everything in the education world, and overseas, in the market and finances. So if you already had any fears regarding those areas, you're going to be like overwhelmed with all of the information. And because we have all of our devices and we get nonstop notifications, like, unless we filter them, and thank God with the new iPhone update, we've got the focus feature. Unless we, you know, filter them and create barriers. And in my coaching programs, I teach about the container method of being able to contain your thoughts of, okay, this is what I'm thinking about for the next 2 hours. That's it. Everything else, I'll deal with that later. But right now, there's no space in this container for those thoughts because that's not what I'm working on. But that's a barrier and that's a filter, but it's a good barrier because it keeps all the overload of information from rushing in and overwhelming you, which causes more anxiety.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So I like that container though too. It's like if we just tell ourselves, or even like, you know, just writing things down, we'll deal with this later. Mm-hmm. But let's focus here. And that definitely does take the pressure down, just eases the whole body. So yeah, that is really, really good. So we are going to take a break again. And then we come back. I would love to talk about your book. So in the meantime, where can people find you again before we take a break?
Absolutely. It's KamishaBrewer.com and on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. It is at Kamisha Brewer.
All right. We'll be right back, everyone. Thank you.
Do your ADHD tendencies get in the way of you doing what you intend to? Traditional strategies for getting things done may not work for you. You need solutions tailored for your unique brain. In Bonnie Minku's training membership program, Productivity Pathfinder, learn ADHD self-mastery step-by-step at your own pace in a supportive community with live online options each week. Learn more about Productivity Pathfinder at thrivewithadd.com.
Let's face it. You don't love your wrinkles. You probably work out, but you have been skipping face day. Join Colette Marie Steffen for daily face yoga. You'll learn to activate and train facial muscles and reverse the visible effects of aging. Forget about expensive procedures and products that don't work. Live virtual classes every day at 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. Pacific. Sign up for face yoga with Colette. Visit thetruthisfunny.com.
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we overcome everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Kamisha Brewer, and we've been talking about loss and trauma and transformation and finding our life purpose and making the most of our life. So, Kamisha, you have a book that just came out. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the name of my book is Thought Life Confessions. It's Inner Conversations of Anxious, Successful Women. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that draws me in, just the title right there, like, oh, more people like me.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I wrote the book for obviously women who are very successful but still dealing with anxiety, just to normalize the experience of their own life and to give them hope that there are other women in the world who are wired just like them, where, you know, they're high achieving, doing well, very educated, thriving businesses, academics, like all the things, but they still struggle with some things mentally. And so in the book, I talk about parking your perfectionism and managing your schedule. Like, there's a chapter called Managing the Rush Life. And I wrote it so that women could understand that it's really important for us to put ourselves on the schedule. Like, our calendars can get so overloaded with all the meetings and all the conference calls and, different events and, you know, the kids stuff. We've got band practice and cheer and dance and football. We've got all the things, but we're not on our own schedules. Like, we are not there. Even my clients, I encourage them to put themselves on the calendar so they can see their own name on their schedules. Yeah. Like, okay, this is my block. This is my time. I get to do whatever I want. I get to do what makes me happy. If I want to get a pedicure in the middle of the day, then yes, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. But just wanting to give resources and tools and strategies, like there's actual case studies in the book about different types of women that I've seen, and some of their stories and the things that they dealt with, and then the actual strategies and solutions that I provided. And they're not like specific people, obviously, because of confidentiality, but it's the same type of woman, the woman that's overwhelmed. And she's like, I want to start a business, but I'm too busy. I want to write a book, but I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. But I've got journals of ideas. I call them the journal junkies. Have all these ideas, all the creativity, but they're just sitting on the journals and continuing to go to vision board parties. But the anxiety kicks in. They're like, oh, well, I'll have to wait till January 1st of next year before I can get started on my goals. And just really speaking to those women to help them manage the anxiety so that they can walk in the power of their purpose and go do amazing things without overthinking it, without overstressing about it. Because people need what we have. And a lot of people don't realize how anxious successful women are because they just see the success. A lot of them don't even know that the anxiety exists. And I wanted to create a book that really spoke to those women.
Yeah. You know, you talked about the parking your perfection. Boy, that's hard. Especially when you're, I remember talking to a colleague not that long ago. I was like my mom, for example, she used to love Hallmark cards. She'd buy them all the time. If before, and she had dementia probably 10 years before we fully knew it. She was starting to kind of decline, but like she would buy Hallmark cards. And if she didn't write it perfectly, she'd tear it up, go buy another one. And you know how expensive those can be. It was perfection. Yeah. And I remember even myself, even like keeping journals, or if something wasn't written perfectly, rip out that page and do it again. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember causing myself such distress, you know, being perfect. How do you talk to somebody about that? Like, of just easing that.
Yeah.
Oh, craziness.
Yeah. The angle I take when we're talking about perfectionism, I actually just did a summit called Parking Perfectionism and Embracing God's Promises for Your Life as a part of the book launch from like a marketing standpoint. But the approach I take is through grace and through self-compassion. In all things, every day, in every activity. And in the book, I even talk about changing outfits from your daily perfectionism outfit to a strong, sophisticated grace dress. What that means and what that can really do for you to help you to feel good about yourself, to feel confident, but also know that God's grace is sufficient for you. Like his strength is made perfect in your weakness. And just the weakness isn't a bad thing. It just means you're flawed like everyone else in the world. You know what I'm saying? So there's no room for the comparison or for the perfectionism if we're all flawed. And but we all have grace too, to be able to be flawed and still do great things in the world, even with our imperfections.
Yeah. I think I finally realized just like nobody is putting that pressure on me but me.
Yeah.
So if I can give myself some grace, you know, it's okay. So you also talked about like scheduling and the importance of that.
Yeah.
I used to, you know, when I took my business home, became an entrepreneur, well, going on 10 years now, I just thought, oh, I don't want this rigid schedule. I don't want to write all this stuff up because, hey, I'm an entrepreneur now. I have freedom. But once I realized that if I started writing all these things in, I had more freedom, more time to go get the pedicure in the middle of the day or to hit the grocery store on Monday morning instead of trying to get everything done on Saturdays and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So can you speak to that too, before we, I know we have to end soon, but can you speak to that too? Like how a schedule can make life actually easier?
Yeah, it really can. And I teach it from the perspective of being the CEO of your own life.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that, you know, if you came from corporate and transitioned into entrepreneurship, one's looking to be a CEO again.
Right.
Or to have anything to do with the CEO. But now you get to be the CEO. That's the decision maker of your own life and deciding, you know, how do I want my new life flow to be? I'm like you. I'm at the grocery store on weekdays when nobody else is in the store.
Exactly.
And I love that because on the weekends, I'm at home. I get to be with my family, but everything else is done. I work 4-day weeks. I don't see clients on Fridays. I don't take meetings. I don't do anything on Fridays except for what I want to do. But that was me being intentional and putting myself on my own schedule.
Feels good, doesn't it? Once you do it.
So good.
Yeah. I've been telling my clients that too. It's like, you think you have all this to do, and maybe you do, but if you start putting those self-care things in your calendar, like, well, it could be, like you said, a pedicure or going to the grocery store or, you know, whatever little thing it is, it might even be a nap.
Yeah.
You know, boy, is it a game changer. And once you start, you're not going back.
Yes.
Oh man, just that you didn't start knowing your value.
Yes.
It helps you to serve others. Like another thing Lisa Nichols always talks about, you know, you serve from the overflow, not even just, you know, filling your cup. It's like, yeah, your cup will be full. That's good. But you don't start serving until it's actually overflowing and out. That's when you give your best self and you can actually help others so much better, absolutely, you know, by doing that. Oh, I love that.
And I teach that too in my program, just explaining to women that a lot of people, they're tired of hearing us say how tired we are or how busy we are, because it shows that you don't have control over your schedule and you're not managing your time well. So when there is an overflow moment where people want you to be a part of something, they may not come ask you because for the last 5 years, you've been tired, you've been busy, you've been overwhelmed. And they're like, oh, okay, well, she's still in this place. So let's move on and find someone else. And it could have been an amazing opportunity. It just means that you haven't, you know, created enough margin to be able to step into that overflow of somebody else's that will eventually help you create your own.
Right. So you've got a lot of good stuff in your books, and I know they can find a lot of good stuff about you on your website. So where could people get your book?
Yeah, you can get the book at thoughtlifeconfessions.com.
Oh, nice. So you have a website just for that. I love it.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, it should have it, right? That's awesome. So again, where everybody, before we close, where can everybody find you?
Sure. Yeah. Website is KamishaBrewer.com, and I am on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Kamisha Brewer.
Awesome. It's been so good to have you, Kamisha. It's been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. And just like in the last, you know, 30 seconds here that we have, if you were, say, at a coffee shop and somebody approached you, they, for some reason, they just knew they wanted to talk to you, what would you say to them in 30 seconds if they're just like, oh, what do I do? I want more in my life.
Yeah, I would say breathe, take a minute, and let's get a plan together, and then just go for it and just see what happens on the other side of that. It may not be perfect. It may not be what you think, but just go for it anyway, just to see what happens.
Yeah, because you're worthy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. I'm very honored to have you here.
Thank you.
And I thank you. And thank you everyone for listening today. It's our pleasure to be here for you. And please join us again next Friday for another awesome show, 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Transformation with Martinet. Did listening today spark a sense of hope and possibility? Hold on to this feeling and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific for more inspiring conversations with Martinet and her guests. They will show you there is hope and you are right where you need to be. Martinet is dedicated to supporting you right where you are while launching you towards promise, passion, and possibility that leads to the fulfilled life your heart aches for. If you're tired of being stuck, schedule a complimentary consultation with Martinet and get on the exciting path towards the life you want to be living. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.